This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
It's 5 minutes past nine. Welcome to the Inner Sanctum. I'm actually relieved that my guest has joined me because he's just come in from Germany very recently. He doesn't know his way around town, and I texted him last night, and he something about his battery going down on his phone, and I thought, oh, this will be a disaster. And then he popped up in the foyer about 20 minutes ago, and his name's Martin Seidel, and he joins me. How are you, Martin?
Hello, I'm fine.
You made it in.
Yes, I made it in. Yesterday my phone was, it was not off, but I had no data to phone you back, you know.
Have you still got your German SIM card in there or something?
No, I have an Australian, but I have to recharge all the time, you know. I have to find another way or get a better card.
Upgrade. Is this your first visit to... The reason why I was a little bit concerned, I thought, how's he going to navigate his way into this rabbit warren of a building? But you did that. Is this your first time in Melbourne?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. First impressions? Don't bag it. We're very
proud. Very, very big town.
Yeah.
I know it from Germany, you know. I come from Cologne. That's also a big city, and we have a lot of traffic, but the traffic here is... a little bit bigger.
Absolutely. So you're from Cologne. I'll sort of backtrack the story. I know you're obviously very successful, probably the second leading rider in Germany, and curious to know why you've left Germany for a period to come here, and you had a stint in South Africa. So when did you arrive in Melbourne?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. And what was the... Why did you arrive in Melbourne?
First of all, you know, Australia is one of the biggest... We're not even the biggest racing country in the world, because all the people talking about the UK, France, in Europe, you know, or the other countries like Hong Kong and this stuff. But, this racing is, you know, compared to Australia, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know from the people they talk in Germany, I only can talk about the people they talk about Australian racing in Germany, they... Only say, you know, when we watch the big races like Wings and these very good horses, they always think about what is true and what is not true, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because the horses don't go out. So my question was, first of all, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And
you were curious.
The most people only talk, but they never do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, last year I was in South Africa. It was a very good time. I met some very good people, good racing. But I want to get some new experience, and at the moment is off season.
Yeah,
Germany, we're racing, but on the dirt. And I said,
you'll have a good time to come.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, did you know what you were coming to? I know you're working, you're riding for Robbie Griffiths, but I think that arrangement popped up after you arrived. Did you get out at Tullamarine Airport and scratch your head and go, now what am I going to do?
No, not really. I have a good friend. He's riding in Dubai. He's retired now. He isn't a jockey anymore. But he was here in Australia in 1992 or something. So
yeah,
he was here before I was born. And he made me the contact to some people over here. And they helped me out with the stable. And first of all, thank you to all these people. They brought me here and... bring me into the right direction.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you about your experience with Robbie Griffiths and your frustrating run of four short half-head seconds in a minute. But just the state of racing in Europe. Obviously, we associate Germany with great wealth and technology and so on, and we assume that their racing industry is very, very buoyant as well. And you were very successful there, riding for a very prominent trainer. But the rest of Europe, not quite as successful as maybe some perceive it here to be. What's the state of racing in particularly Germany and some other places in Europe where you probably may have ridden as well?
You know what I can say, what I know from some of the jocks, like Andras Starke, he's the best we ever had in Germany. He won Arc de Triomphe and all this stuff, so he knows what he's doing. And he told me 20 years ago in Germany was very, very big. They had 5 days a week racing, and it was lovely for the people, all this. And then it was in the year about 2000-2001 when they changed to Euro, you know?
Right.
And the bookmakers open, and they sell, the rights.
Yeah,
for the TV and all this stuff, and then racing goes down. Same in Italy. I remember when I was apprentice, every week, every week we sent trailers to Italy because it was good money and good racing. And I think that is the biggest problem, that all open, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, with this technology, the people, they don't come to the racetracks. They sit at home, they watch on the TV, or they bet on their phone, but the money don't go back into racing. That's the biggest problem in Germany.
So German racing is still going okay, but nowhere near as prosperous as it was 20 years ago?
No.
If you're a successful jockey in Germany, are you wealthy? Do you make a lot of money if you're really, really successful?
It's okay when you can ride under the top five.
Which you were, in that group, weren't you?
Six.
Yeah.
Six, something like this, between the first seven.
Yeah.
But, I wasn't riding from until March to November because I was in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah. And what took you to South Africa?
We have very cold and rainy winters in Germany. That was the first reason. And in my stable I work for, we have one owner. I don't know if you know it, Jacob's Coffee.
Yeah.
Yes. And this man, or a part of the family, he have horses. Also a big stud. And he have horses in South Africa also. Main Chance Farm.
Yep.
In South Africa. And I was talking to him, and he said to me, no problem, I will organize you something. And, boop, I was in South Africa.
There you go. What's the difference? Is there a noticeable difference between racing in South Africa and Germany?
By the way they train the horses, it's nearly the same, you know. It's more European style how they train the horses. They have big tracks, lovely tracks, so it was not too hard to get in. I had a nice stable. I was also a bit lucky because one jockey, he was injured and I was next to him, mm-hmm. and the trainer, Joey Ramston, very, very nice man.
Yeah.
If he listened to that, hello, Joey.
He's sucking up to the right people. Yep, that's good.
And it was a good time and I had some...
Similar enough, the two, you know, where you didn't have to adapt too much as a German to ride in South Africa. It was basically a circular track and not much different.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. That's true.
We in Australia generally perceive French racing to be the closest to the way we race and train and all those sorts of things, with German racing very similar. In the time you've been here, have you been surprised at how similar our racing is to Germany?
Racing is a bit different, you know, because you have more races for the sprinters or over a mile, what we don't have in Germany. You know, sometimes I miss it a little bit because I love the races from 1,000 to 1,400, you know. Yeah. You know, our horses in Europe are more breed for the stayer races. And that's also a reason here, you know, what is good for me. To learn how to read the races when they go over 1,000 or only 1,200 meters.
Yeah.
And, you've been right. Like you said, it's closer to France, you know.
Mm, absolutely. Australians have had a very big appetite for German horses to buy over from over there and come out here and try and win our Melbourne Cup. So we've got a very high respect for the quality of German horses. A lot of it was through Monson, the stallion, who produced all these Melbourne Cup winners. What's the state of racing and breeding and quality of horse in Germany these days? Does it compare to France? Is it as good as France?
Of course. The breeding is one of the best in the world. The German breeding still, and you know, I say this, the breeding is better than the racing in our country at the moment. It's, I have to say the truth, you know.
Yeah,
but we still have horses, you know, they go out from Germany, they win big races, like a few years ago they win the Melbourne Cup, and the breeding is still good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the training, just on the breeding, someone was telling me we've had an issue with certain stallions produce horses with ongoing physical traits and deficiencies like roarers and things like that. The Germans have a very strict regime with breeding, don't they, about horses with faults. They don't let them breed through the system. Is that something you're aware of?
Yeah, the stallions, they want to have them hard, strong, and, you know, no marks. I think that's also a reason why they, you know, some horses, they win a derby, but they never use them for a stallion, because they won the Derby. Possible after this, they won something else, but they had problems with the air, or like you said, you know. And then,
in case it's a recurring trait through their progeny,
yes,
yeah. So it's a very interesting philosophy about breeding, isn't it? So you don't keep having recurring problems with generation and generation.
I was talking to the stud manager I work for, because for the trainer I work for in Germany, Markus Klug, he's multiple champion the last years. It's a private area. It's Stad Röttgen, one of the biggest in Germany. And I talked to the stud manager about this. And
yeah.
Oh, he said to me, we can talk every day, 1 year, and you always find something new, interesting for me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, that's too much for me. I make my racing, I ride my horses, and that's it.
Hey, tell us about Mr. Klug, the trainer. My understanding is that Andreas Waller has been probably historically the top trainer over there, but this other guy has really emerged in recent times to become a really, really successful German trainer. Tell us a bit about him.
Yes, he's a very young trainer. He's now about 7 years as a professional trainer,
yep,
in the game. Before he was, you know, he only trains about 4, 5, 6 horses,
yeah,
like this. And then he get the chance to work for the big stud. And yeah, it was 6 years ago. I moved over there because he started to build a new team and, you know, organized all new. He started like under the ground, you know.
Yeah, but you got a sense that he was growing really quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was growing in, like I said, he's there now 7 years. In that time, he won 2 derbies. This year, he was 2nd and 1st in the German Derby.
Wow.
We had winners in France and all over Europe, you know. And yeah, this time I think he was 4 times. I have to look. I'm not really,
yeah,
know. 4 or 5 times he was champion in Germany. And yeah, he's doing well.
We have a similarly successful trainer here called Darren Weir, who wins everything, and he trains differently. He uses different tools, in inverted commas, deep sand and beaches and hills and all, yeah, sorts of things. Sorry, what's his name? Markus Klug, is that?
Yes.
Yeah. What does he do anything differently? Is he brought new ways of training to the table there?
No, not really. No, not really. What he is doing, you know, after 3 years, I start to think about what he is doing different, you know, in a different way. I've worked for some other stables and he does nothing different. He said, you know, 100 years ago, how they trained the horses. I said, they sent them on the sand, they gallop them, they bring them back. They look how he looks like. He looks good. He looks not good. You know, like the old way.
Simplicity.
And that's how he works the horses. And yeah.
No magic formula. Just keep it simple and do it well.
Yes. He work hard. He's a very hard trainer. Very hard. But yeah.
Where does he train from? Is there a Shonti or a Newmarket type training set up in Germany?
No, we not really have that. The most of the trainers, they based on some racetracks, you know.
So where is Markus Klug trained from?
We have a private area.
Yeah.
That's the stud farm. And in between the stud farm, also the race horses. So there's space for about 140, 150 horses.
And it's a private training center.
Yes, it's a private.
Near Cologne.
Yes, it's about 20 minutes from Cologne and yeah, only this trainer. So it's also good for him, you know, he can work as long he want and what he want because he's alone there.
Yeah.
So he have enough time to look after every horse and yeah, I think it's nearly how you say, you only have this area,
yeah,
about 2 times in, yeah, Germany.
Right.
Like this, you know. Like Andreas Wöhler, the trainer, he won the Melbourne Cup, he's the same. He's also private, so by his own. And that's also I think a thing to have success.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's the Flemington of Germany? You know, we've got there's Royal Ascot in England, and there's Newmarket, and there's Churchill Downs in the United States, and we have Flemington and Randwick. What are the great racetracks of Germany? What are the ones where you get the biggest crowds and the most famous races?
Yeah, that's always in the summer season in Germany.
Yep.
We have a meeting in Baden-Baden.
I went to the Grosser Prix von Baden-Baden 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah. No, that's one of
It's a resort town, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. Very big people, rich people, a lot of Russian people, a lot of hotels, and then outside, a little bit outside, about 10 minutes, is the racetrack. You know, it's funny, it's like Chantilly, it's a small village, you know, but then you have the big, big racetrack, and it's still, you know, the biggest meeting we have. We race there 1 week.
For a whole week?
Yes.
Yeah,
a whole week, but 3 times a year. And then all the racing people goes there, the big races are there, and it's always a good time.
How many people would turn up on a big day at Baden-Baden?
Yeah, depends on the weather. I think same like here, you know. You can't compare it to Flemington, you know. Flemington is, it's unbelievable how many people come here. I want to see it one day.
Yeah, you will, you will. And you've just got to ride a winner here first.
Yeah, I think about 30,000 maximum.
Yeah, big crowd. Let's talk about you riding a winner here and the stint that you've had in the last couple of weeks, and it's been terrific to see you ride. It's just a shame that the horses haven't stuck their heads out. Robbie's obviously not training them fit enough for them to win for you. So tell us about working at Robbie Griffiths's. You've been there for a couple of weeks and you're part of the daily routine down at Cranbourne.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely training facility, top organized. Robbie is a very good person, good trainer in my opinion, I've seen right now. All the horses looks very well. You can ride every horse. So, you know, you have...
How many horses are you working in the morning?
Oh, it depends on how much is to do, between 5 and 8.
Yep.
Sometimes 9. When they have the jump outs, then a little bit more. But...
What sort of a feel have these horses been giving you? They feel like good horses to you?
Yeah, I've ridden a couple of very nice horses right now. I'm also very happy that he already put me on some good chances. I was a bit unlucky, but
we'll talk about those in a second. So that the rhythm of that's working really well, and you're actually currently suspended. We'll talk about that in a sec as well, but take us through the frustration of because if one of these had won, it would have maybe opened up a few more opportunities and so on. So you've had 4 short half head seconds, and I was joking to Robbie about it last night, and he did joke that maybe he's not presenting them quite fit enough. So tell us, take us through the frustration of the 4 seconds you've had so far.
Yeah, you know, I always say the second is the first loser. But, by the way, you know, I didn't know the tricks before I came here, and even the horses, you know, some of the horses I didn't know, and I think the horses are not like Robbie said. We always get beaten from another horse that was better on that day, you know?
Yeah, he was only joking about that. So.
And... Yeah, the winner will come. I take it easy.
Yeah, and is it difficult to adapt to when to go to home? You know, you have to adapt to different race tempo here, different size tracks. You know, when you straighten up, some of them have got short straights. Do you? Is it take a little bit of time to get your head around those little factors?
I don't think so. It's okay because I was traveling a lot, you know. From Germany, we're riding in Belgium, we're riding in France, we're riding in Italy. And like you said, it complain Australia to France, it's a little bit the same, you know. They ride in France, they ride very, very tight. They go more the races like sprints, same like here. So it didn't take very long for me to get in.
What's your opinion of the jockeys you've been riding against?
Yeah, you have, you know, that's also a very, very interesting part, because the Australian racing style is from the jocks is totally different to the European style. But that's very good, because of that you ride very tight, and this stuff, the horse have to stay straight, you know. We don't ride like this in Germany or in UK when you watch that. So I think that helps a jockey from overseas that comes here a lot to improve his balance and this. So right now, what I've seen from all the jocks, the quality is very, very, very high.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good jockeys.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. So you're currently, what did you get suspended for?
Because I didn't stay straight. Yeah, they told me that before. You have to be very careful here in Australia. Don't move your lines and this. Yeah, it happens.
Yep.
I got the suspension, so I know what I.
You now know how straight you have to stay. How long's, when does the suspension stop?
It stops on Sunday evening, so I will start to ride again on Tuesday because
Okay.
Monday is no racing.
Terrific. And have you had some time to do some other things while you've been suspended?
Yeah, I use a lot the gym because when you're off and you're not racing, you have to be careful to keep your weight at
How low
the
can you
right
ride, by
place.
the way?
I can ride 53,
Oh,
53 and a
that's
half.
low by our standards, so that should open up some opportunities for you for sure. So just as far as the stint that you've, my understanding is it's possibly for about 4 months, but if the winners start rolling in, is there a chance that maybe you'll extend it?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about this now. First of all, I want to stay to middle of March because I still have my contract with a big owner. But you never know, Possibly it goes on. I have some winners and I stay a bit longer.
Absolutely. Well, it's been great to it's great to have you here. You're adding a little bit of color to our summer racing, and great to hear a little bit about your story, and good to hear that things are working out really well down at Robbie Griffiths's. And fingers crossed that those narrow seconds might turn into a narrow win, and then you'll be off and running.
Okay, thank
Terrific.
you.
Good on you, Martin. Martin.